Who's been on a journey today? Who's been on a long journey today? Who did the donkey walk this morning? Oh, I didn't. Not much point. Did you get muddy? Yep. Yes. Okay. I wouldn't have come. I've got my best shoes on, so I didn't want them to get muddy. Who's done a short journey this morning? Anybody like to tell me what that short journey might be? Nobody? You live down the road, so that's a short journey, isn't it? From home to here. You see, mine's a bit longer because I live in Fleckney, so it's a bit of a journey to get to here. I did a short journey this morning. I got out of bed, I put my slippers on, and I went down and made a cup of tea. Anybody else do the same? Yes. I bet perhaps an even shorter journey may have been getting up out of bed and going to the bathroom. We make journeys, don't we? Every single day. Some of those journeys are short, some of them are long. Now, we're fortunate in today's story, we have five journeys. And I bet you never even thought there were five journeys. I bet you thought there was just one. Well, the first journey is when Jesus, I don't need the picture, not just yet, the picture can come in a minute. The first journey is from Jericho to the Mount of Olives. And that's an assumed journey. We'll talk about that in a minute. The next journey is where the disciples go to fetch the colt, or in other words, the donkey. Okay? The next journey is the actual journey into Jerusalem. Then we've got Jesus doing a journey into the temple. And then we've got him going back out to Bethany. Now, my reckoning, that's five journeys. So we're going to start with our first journey. So if we can bring up the picture. Jericho to Jerusalem. It's a long, hard climb. For those of you who like facts, Jericho is the lowest city on earth at about or over 800 feet below sea level. Whereas Jerusalem is at 3,000 feet above sea level. Even though those two places are only about a dozen or so miles away from each other. And the road that you travel, it's hot, it's dry, until you reach the top of Mount Olives, and then you get to see vegetation, bushes, greenery, and Jerusalem in the distance. So Jesus travelled from Jericho because he just healed Bartimaeus, the blind man. And he had to travel all the way up to the Mount of Olives and to Jerusalem. It was hard. It wasn't easy. But he stops. And then what he does is he gets two of his disciples. And he sends those two disciples out to go and collect a colt so that Jesus could ride into Jerusalem on it. With the promise that the colt would be returned as soon as possible. So once the colt comes back, so that's journey two. Journey three starts with the disciples putting their cloaks on the colt to act like a saddle. I think donkeys are quite dusty animals, aren't they? So you'd want to be a bit more comfortable. And then they started to walk towards Jerusalem. It wasn't just the disciples. I'm sure that those people who had followed him, followed Jesus through his ministry, were following him as well, with a sense that something important was happening. Somebody I like to read a lot, commentary by Tom Wright. He says that from chapter 8 of Mark onwards, The disciples have believed that Jesus is the true and rightful King of the Jews, on the way to be hailed as such. So, they lay their cloaks, not only on the donkey, but also on the dry and dusty path towards Jerusalem. A real act of sacrifice for a deserved king. Cloaks were very important in the days of Jesus. Others waved branches in reverence of the king they believed Jesus was. They recognized that Jesus had come to save, and so they shouted, "Hosanna! Save us! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Words which we heard in our reading from Psalm 118. Words used now to welcome Jesus into Jerusalem. So, as part of this journey, we have a king amongst his people, riding a very humble, lowly animal, and fulfilling the prophecy from the Old Testament, from Zechariah 9, verse 9, which says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious. Is he humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey?" So we've got all the excitement, and then suddenly it goes a bit quiet, what we call an anticlimax, because nothing really happens next. Jesus isn't crowned a king, yet he does something which becomes a significant part of the story later on. Jesus walks to the temple. He goes in and he looks around. And that's it. But we do know that the next day he goes back, he returns and visits the temple. With that cry of, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." Now, we don't know why Jesus didn't clear the temple there and then. Perhaps some of the sellers had left because it was late. If you remember the donkey, Jesus had to take the donkey back, didn't he? And I wonder whether that played on Jesus' mind. If that was me, I'd be itching to get it back. I wouldn't want to keep hold of it for too long. And so, Jesus leaves the temple, and he and the disciples return to Bethany. No loud shouts of a new king crowned, but instead, time for Jesus to think about what his next step should be. So, what about us? What can we learn from those five journeys? Well, our Christian journey, we can face some pretty harsh times, can't we? It's not all plain sailing. It's not easy. We perhaps have those times where we feel like we're walking through the hot, dry desert, and it feels a bit too much. But Jesus had to persevere. So what do we have to do? We need to persevere sometimes when it feels hard. And when we do persevere, we get to see the goodness of God. We will experience the love of God, and we will know that he is with us on the journey. Secondly, the second journey teaches us that we need to trust God. The two disciples journeyed together, had to trust that what Jesus had said about the colt was true. They walked away not really knowing what they would find. But as they put their trust in Jesus, they found out that what he said was true. I'm sure they felt mightily relieved and perhaps even a little bit joyful. Well, it's the same for us. When we put our trust in God, when we follow his way of love, we will also find that God is faithful. He won't let us down. And so, therefore, our faith increases and deepens. And then we've got our third journey, the biggest journey that we're told about in the story. And I think this journey is about us giving our all as we journey with Christ. Jesus here is at the very center of the crowds. He's almost at their level. He's amongst them. Yet despite all that, the crowd gave them all. They waved their palm branches. They welcomed him into Jerusalem, some giving their possessions to pave the way. So how willing are we to give ourselves? Firstly, in worship to God by acknowledging and praising him, but also secondly, by serving him, showing our love for him in our actions of love towards others. We don't have a Jesus on a donkey to lay our cloaks down for, but there are people within the places that we are for whom we can lay down our metaphorical cloaks in order to serve with compassion and mercy. And then we get to the last part of the journey, the much quieter part. Jesus walks the temple, he enters and looks around. There should be times in our journey where we need to stop and we need to look at what is happening around us. Don't we get so caught up in the busyness of lives that we feel like we're rushing around all the time? I know I feel like that sometimes. Life is so busy that we can sometimes forget to stop and look. And then that theme continues as Jesus returns to Bethany. We know what Jesus did the next day, but it seems to me he needed rest and time to think about what he needed to do next. So Jesus rested. So if Jesus rested, then surely we need to make sure that that's what we do as well. And it's only when we rest that we refresh our perspective on life, tune into God and what he wants us to do. We're all at different stages of our faith journey. But the journeys we've heard about today should challenge us to persevere when the going gets tough, to trust God as we travel sometimes into the unknown, knowing that he is faithful, to give ourselves to God, and to love others in love and to others in love and service, but also to recognize that we need to take time to stop and rest with God. So as we look forward to the events of Good Friday and Easter Day, take today's challenges as you continue on your journey with Christ, and take heart. Christ has been there and is with you every step of the way. Amen.